Hello, everyone, and welcome into CrushTheStreet.com. I'm Kenneth Amanduri, and I'm joined today with Charlie Lee. We're going to have a great conversation today. Someone who's been on the show before and someone who's given us a lot of insight early in the game. And I mean, my goodness, Litecoin is something that actually the first cryptocurrency I bought back in 2013, even before Bitcoin, I was like, oh, Bitcoin's too expensive at $13. I'll buy Litecoin. So I did that. So that was really exciting. So it's an honor to be speaking to Charlie Lee, the founder of Litecoin. And, we're going to be talking about where we are now in the crypto space. Bitcoin as the banner has gone below 30,000. So let's get his thoughts on that. So Charlie, thank you so much for coming on the show with me today.
Thanks, Kenneth. Thanks for having me.
So it's an interesting time here. Bitcoin going to 65,000 roughly, and then been in this just downward trend. You know, people who said that they bought at 50 on the dip, said they never sell, would be hodlers, are now happy sellers at $31,000 Bitcoin, let's call it. You know, they just get washed and rinsed, and they don't have the resilience. And then that's just markets. I'm not picking on people for Bitcoin, but that's just how markets are. It's hard to watch your investment fall. Even, you know, me this week, I'm buying Bitcoin at 33,000, 32,000. You know, you watch it go below 30 and then you're like, oh, is it going to, should I wait till it falls to 22 before I pull the trigger on more? You know what I mean? Like we're all dealing with this. In the moment. I mean, in hindsight, if Bitcoin goes to 500,000, like Cathy Wood says, you know, it doesn't matter where we're buying in July of 2021. So what are your thoughts on this?
I mean, I've seen this cycle like many times, right? This is just what happens when a price goes up really fast, people hear about it and they get in at the high, right? And there could be a crash. I mean, this crash from 60,000 to 30,000, it's bad, but it's not as bad as like what we've seen before, right? It's only a 50% crash. I've always told people, like, you have to be able to withstand these crashes, right? Otherwise you're the sucker that is buying high and selling low, right? The idea is to buy low and sell high, not the opposite. So if you buy at 60,000 and then you're forced to sell at 30 because you kind of over leveraged, then that's a problem, right? So I've always told people you shouldn't invest more than you can afford, right? So if you didn't really invest more than you can afford, you actually have more money to buy now, right? To actually dollar cost average in, right? And it could go to 20,000, right? It's hard to say what's gonna happen. Like everyone expected us to go to 100,000 this year. I mean, we still may get there, but it's not gonna be a smooth straight line to 100,000. It's gonna be a bumpy ride, and it's like a roller coaster. It's going to shake you off, right? So if you have weak hands, you're going to be shaken off at 30,000 or even 20,000, and you will miss the upside. So yeah, I think long-term Bitcoin, Litecoin, crypto is still very strong, right? We're still going to do well. The governments are still printing fiat money like crazy. So Bitcoin is definitely going to do well, but in the short term, it could be painful. You just have to be able to huddle through it.
Yeah. So any thoughts on some of the latest FUD, the latest fear that's been put out there? I know China cracked down on the crypto miners and we're seeing a lot of them move outside of China. You know, a lot of them are coming to Texas or areas that have just cheaper electricity. Anything significant or notable about that would be a long-term concern for you? Or is this just part of what we've seen time and time again and Bitcoin will be resilient through this?
It's actually surprisingly not bad, actually, given what happened, right? So China cracked down on mining, made it illegal to mine in China. And the hash rate for both Bitcoin and Litecoin dropped like by 50%. And that's a drastic drop in hash rate. But the network recovered pretty well, right? The backlog wasn't that bad. And the hash rate difficulty readjusted as expected. Now we're back to normal. So, and then the hash rate is slowly moving out of China. So that's actually in the long term, that's actually a good thing to be more decentralized because we're overly centralized in terms of mining hash rate in China. So now all that is moving outside of China into various different locales. So
and it's actually good so for quickly. The, that's well, not one of the things. It's not like we were dependent on China, but then, oh, they cracked down on it. All of a sudden it gets fixed in, you know,
weeks. The, everyone is, and that's the whole point of the system, why it works is because when people are profit driven, it works, right? Everyone's greedy. The miners want to still make money. So they're going to quickly move their hash rate, move their machines out of China into other locations. And it hasn't fully like moved yet, but it's going to happen. And there's the network really hasn't seen, it hasn't really really gotten much of a hit from that. Everything just still works perfectly normal and things will be back to normal. Things are back to normal. So I think it's actually a good thing that happened. And I was surprised how little FUD there was. Like if this happened 4 years ago, I think it would be a lot more like scary. But so, Bitcoin and Litecoin just handled it like flawlessly, I would say.
What about this other FUD about the energy consumption that it's taking to support the blockchain? And that, you know, I know Elon Musk made news when he kind of put it in the limelight. Hey, this is kind of a concern. It kind of goes against his whole model of having, you know, a green energy company, but then, you know, supporting Bitcoin, and it seemed like a contradiction, or he made it seem like one. Do you think that's going to be dead weight on Bitcoin and some of the other ones going forward here if people believe conventionally that it's bad for the environment?
I think it definitely like, it's kind of it hurts a bit, right? The narrative of Bitcoin being wasteful, but when you think about it, it's not really that wasteful. We're actually, the energy is actually going towards something good, right? The traditional like fiat banking system costs a lot of energy also. I would say more so than Bitcoin. And in the end, you're talking about like what's, if people think something is useful, they will spend their energy to do it, right? It's not, if it's not useful, then no one would mine Bitcoin and energy won't be spent on it, right? The reason why people spend energy mining Bitcoin is because it produces something useful. So the way to kind of fight this energy usage is actually going to just move towards renewable energy, right? Incentivize people to use renewable energy as opposed to like fossil fuels. So if you put the right incentives in place, then everything will work itself out.
Yeah, that crypto ecosystem is just a real beautiful thing. And it's amazing how much foresight there was when it was originally started. And good for you for just being so early on it. My goodness, the infrastructure you built, and I guess really the foresight, I mean, to really anticipate. It's easy for us to go, oh yeah, Bitcoin, Litecoin as a financial instrument, because we see it on CNBC and MarketWatch. Mm-hmm. And they're talking about it, you know, the Fed is talking about it now, but, you know, back in the day, it was a blog, you know, it was a weird technology. It was something that just, you know, you'd have to really think far down the road to even consider that it might be traded as a commodity this decade. And that's just, to me, mind blowing. But yeah, maybe were able to see that very early on. And maybe how were you able to see that?
I don't know. I was pretty sure that it's going to be a big thing, even back in 2011, because I saw it as like a better version of gold, and I've always seen gold as a better form of money than fiat currency. So, yeah, I've always thought Bitcoin would really become something big, but it actually, in terms of like the price, it actually performed better than I expected. I was looking back at my early emails to people about Bitcoin back in 2011. I predicted Bitcoin would hit $5,000 in like 10 years. And it was like 10 or 20 years. And we've like shot past $5,000 a long time ago already. And that was like my pie in the sky like number, right? When it was at $5, if it hits 5,000, that's 1,000 times increase. Yeah, so but back then the thing is no one really knew you can't really predict what's going to happen, right? So Bitcoin was just an experiment. It could have easily just failed, right? So I thought it would become big, but I wouldn't be surprised if it just died overnight because of some bug in the system or just the whole thing actually doesn't work as we thought it would. The whole incentive structure just was awesome, but it may have just failed, right? It might just fail.
Yeah, it's almost as if Bitcoin and Litecoin always had to prove itself, you know, at the current value, if you will. Like when Bitcoin was $10, I mean, there weren't Bitcoin ATMs. There weren't, the infrastructure wasn't there for it to be $10, you know, more than a $1 bill. I think people just probably, you know, couldn't wrap their mind around that at the time. And then, you know, sure enough, here we are with Bitcoin trading where it is at $30,000. Sure, everyone would love to go back to the days when it was $10, but, you know, now we got to justify, hey, is it worth 30 going to 100? I think people just have to constantly, you know, think down the road, like, is it possible for this to happen? And that's what we're constantly dealing with Bitcoin.
Yeah, Bitcoin still has to prove itself, right? It still has to, there's still a lot of naysayers in thinking Bitcoin will die or go to zero. So lots of people still predict Bitcoin will go to zero.
So Charlie, let's talk a little bit about the financial capital that has come into Bitcoin. And this has been a question that I've been asking some different guests. And I thought it was interesting that we have this new threshold of capital that we hit. You know, when Bitcoin got to $1 trillion market cap, that's a lot of new money that came into the space, which arguably created new floors. As opposed to say, if Bitcoin stayed at 10 and, you know, didn't go past 10, you know, like we saw this year or last year into this year, you know, we wouldn't have had, you know, ARK and Elon Musk and all this new institutional money coming into the space. Whereas, you know, if it was at 10, maybe the floor was 1,000, you know, maybe it could have gone to 1,000, but now we've gone to 60. And because all this new money has come in and whales, if you will, maybe that new floor is higher, you know, than it would have ever been. And so what are your thoughts on that? I mean, in terms of financial capital coming into the space and the inevitability for higher prices and the support of even lower prices.
Bitcoin is historically has had like this 4-year cycle, right? Kind of follows the halving cycle. It's kind of happening the same way, right? So this cycle, maybe we saw the high already, or maybe it's going to be 100,000, right? We don't know. So, I mean, no one really knows until afterwards, right? If we stay at this level, even go to 20,000, like in a year, then people will be like, oh, it was obvious. That was the high, but who knows, right? So we have more money coming in. It kind of raises Bitcoin to the next level. And it takes a few of these kind of bull cycles for Bitcoin to achieve its ultimate goal of becoming, for example, possibly the world reserve currency. We're going to see a few more of these bull and boom and bust cycles before it's all over, or before it reaches a level where it's stable, right? Eventually we'll get to a more stable price level where Bitcoin, the price won't be as volatile, and then people would use it more as a store of value, and it'll be more stable and things can be priced in Bitcoin. But right now we're still going through a few like boom and bust cycle before that happens. And at each cycle, there's going to be more people coming in, right? So 4 years ago, people were predicting, saying that there's so much awareness of Bitcoin now that we won't crash 80% or 90% like we did previously, right? This is when the price was $20,000. People were saying, this is different. This time it's different. But as it turns out, it wasn't different. We crashed back down to 3,000. Right. And then this cycle, people are saying it's different, right? It's not different because we went from 60,000 back to 30,000, and potentially we could go lower, who knows, right? So I think it's going to happen again, but every time there's more people in, there's more money in. And like you said, the price floor would be higher. what is the price for today? We don't really know until we get there, right?
So Charlie, what are your thoughts on how we do see this eventually navigating to world reserve status? I mean, don't you think there's going to be a lot of resistance from central banks and governments to allow this decentralized currency to become some sort of world reserve currency for the world?
It's not about allowing or not allowing, right? It's kind of like if Bitcoin is the best form of money, people will gravitate towards it, right? So we see, like this year, we saw El Salvador decide to set Bitcoin as a as one of the currencies they use, right? So, and slowly but surely, more countries will start doing that, I think, right? And when that happens, it will slowly become a world reserve currency before, like without asking anyone for permission, right? If people start using Bitcoin as a reserve currency, then it will just be what it is.
Yeah. So I'm not sure if you follow or if it's something that's interesting to you, the technicals as it pertains to Bitcoin and some of the cryptos. Does anything notable that you see is the $30,000 level for Bitcoin as the banner? Is that significant in terms of, you know, we were there for a while and, you know, now people are going to get fearful and we could see things sell off, maybe to the upside? Any technical things that you're seeing that might indicate where you think we could go in the next few months here, the next year?
I think this is like a double test of the 30,000 level. So it could go either way. Obviously it will go one way or the other, but I personally believe we'll come out of this stronger. So what happens with these like drops is we shake out the weak hands, right? So Bitcoin goes from the weak hands to stronger hands at this level when, and then those stronger hands will hold it onto it longer. So the price will rebound, right? So I think that's what's going to happen with this, where the price will rebound back to where we were before and overshoot the 60,000 level. That's what I think. I don't know how long that's going to take. I mean, sometimes it happens really quickly, right? With Bitcoin, it could happen like 1 or 2 weeks where things just go crazy. That's what happened in 2017 when the price just went up crazy. And in 2017, we also saw like a crash, like a few crashes like this one, where it dropped quite a bit from the high at the time.
But did it drop this long though? I feel like we've been in this bear market now, or call it whatever you want to call it, this crash mm-hmm. for an extended period of time where, you know, there's the enthusiasm around crypto has been largely sucked out, you know, conventionally. I mean, the whales, the hodlers, those that are, you know, the strong hands are buying, but I think we've lost a lot of the you know, the Uber drivers and the whatever you want to call it, yeah. All the typical, hey, we're in a bubble type of people asking about crypto. We've lost all of that.
If I remember correctly, in 2017, we also had like a crash or lull where price was down for quite a few months in like January, February, March timeframe. And then after that, it really took off. Like mid 2017, late 2017, really like shot through the roof. We could potentially be in the same kind of spot as that time frame in 2017, or we could be at the end of a cycle of the bull cycle. It's hard to tell, right? It's only obvious after the fact. Just like the top of 2017, right? When it peaked in 2017 around $20,000 level, like 90% of the people thought we were going like much higher. And then after a few months afterwards, or in early 2018, it became obvious that that was the peak of the cycle. Yeah, it's no one really knows.
Yeah, and it's one of those things. It's hard to give, and we don't do that here. We don't give financial advice, but I know people are looking for guidance, and it's so hard to, you know, people. It's not like buying a 7%. Dividend expected return on a stock where if it goes down 15%, you know, it's crashed. I mean, it's funny the way you put it earlier, we're only down 50%. I mean, we're stabilizing compared to what we've seen in the past. And we are. I mean, Bitcoin is growing. It's becoming more mainstream. We're finding some sort of equilibrium. And, you know, gold and silver have had 5,000 years for the world to figure out price equilibrium. And the world is still being introduced to this new asset class. So it's all brand new. And I feel like we're still early in the game. Not as early as we were, obviously. I mean, we've come a long way, but still early. So Charlie, you know, share some closing thoughts here. What are you up to lately? And if people want to learn more about you, where can they go and what can they expect to find and, you know, all that stuff?
Yeah. So recently I've been working on a feature for Litecoin called MWeb, which is adding Mimblewimble to the Litecoin protocol. And it's a feature that adds privacy and fungibility to the coin. So one thing that I've always harped on is that Bitcoin and Litecoin, kind of like the main feature of money, of sound money that is missing is fungibility. So when you use, when you send coins to someone, because of the fact that everything's out in open, there's history attached to the coin. And because of that, the coins aren't interchangeable. They're not fungible. And there's there's no privacy, right? And I think for something to be good money, it needs to be fungible. When I give you a Bitcoin or a Litecoin, any Bitcoin, Litecoin I give you should be exactly the same. Otherwise, you can differentiate the two, and you can censor one transaction over another because of that. So that's what I'm working on for Litecoin is. Working with a developer, David Burkett, on this MWeb feature, which we are hoping to get that out to be soft forked into Litecoin fairly soon, maybe end of the year. So that's something that's exciting that's coming out for Litecoin soon.
Super exciting. Well, you talked about all-time highs with Bitcoin. You know, maybe we see $100,000 Bitcoin. Any stab at projections as to what we could see with Litecoin? Won't hold you to it. In fact, you've been so conservative with your Bitcoin projections. You said 5,000 and it got blown out of the water.
I don't like to make projections, especially for Litecoin, because people like take it as if that's like gospel. I think we're in for a surprise. I think the high is not, we haven't hit the high of the cycle yet. So in my mind, Litecoin already like broke that previous all-time high of 360 before, but some people think Litecoin's all-time high is like 400 something. So I think we'll get there. People just have to be patient, right? So it's not going to happen overnight. And in some sense, people are focused too much on the price, right? And if you, this is kind of like a long-term investment, right? If you're just in it for a short term, you're going to have a bad time, right? So if you're in it for long-term, then don't worry about it, right? Put the money into Bitcoin, Litecoin, or just have a good balance portfolio and don't look at it for a while. In 5-10 years, it's going to be up. That's my prediction. And otherwise, if you're too focused on it, you make bad decisions, right? You will be kind of, one of the worst decisions obviously is selling at the low, buying high, selling low. Another bad decision is selling just after it reached the previous all-time high. You're like, I've held on to this for so long, it's finally back to that price, and you're gonna sell everything. And that's like the second worst decision, because if it took like 4 years to get back to that price, it's gonna overshoot it by like a lot, right? It just happens with Bitcoin and Litecoin. And if you sell it right after it hits the previous all-time high, then you're just holding on to it for so long for a very little gain. I would say the recommendation is just to kind of buy and forget about it. Come back 5 years.
Buy and forget about it. Yeah, it's not going anywhere. That's the understatement, because I think that's what people are worried about. They're worried that it's going to do the Peter Schiff thing and be a Beanie Baby fad, and people will not use it. And the concern is that it will just go to zero ultimately. And I just don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I think we're past that point. So that's good.
All right, Charlie. Well, thank you so much for sharing your time with us here at Crush the Street. It's always appreciated. We look forward to having you on in short order, and we look forward to seeing what happens in Bitcoin and in Litecoin here going forward. Good time to be looking at the markets, guys. It's, if you're looking for a deal, you're looking for an opportunity not to pay all-time highs for crypto, here's an opportunity, not financial advice. Thanks, Charlie, for coming on the show.
Yep, thanks, Kenneth.